want to talk about the confusion of God's plan A or B. Really what I want to be able to share with you is a lot of people think, well, you know what, God's got this plan, and what if I do something and I miss it? Can I ever be okay if I don't marry the right person, or if I don't go to the right job, or will I miss out on what God has for me? Now, again, some of the stuff that we've been talking about is much more complicated than I can help you with in 45 minutes. But it's one of those things that cause confusion within young people and within our church, because there are people who adamantly believe that if you miss this decision or that decision, then you're going to miss out totally. There are others who believe, nah, don't worry about it, just let God do whatever you want, you'll never miss out on anything. And then they all go to the same church and sing the same songs, and you all basically are confused by what the Bible actually says. So what I would like to do is be able to bring some understanding to the confusion just a little bit and talk about things that we know for sure. And one of the things we know for sure is that God is not random. I'm going to start right there. There is nothing about God that has ever been random. If you go into the book of Job, and you see that Job, there was a plan, and a plan was being worked out, what Job finally got to in his heart was, God just chose to do this to me, and it must be okay. There must not be a real reason for it. And that's actually when God gave it to him. Because one of the characteristics of God is that he's very purposeful. He's very deliberate in what he does. In other words, when he made the earth, when he made you, your whole body works in a right way. You got, you know, blood, it travels, I don't know, you people don't know where it travels, but it does that stuff, and it keeps you alive, and it goes all over the place, and you have nerves, and they all work together. See, God's very purposeful in what he did. If you look at what Satan tries to do, he tries to get us on the other side of that. So, how? Well, evolution, for example, or something like that. So, what you have is this accident, and you become an accidental blob of protoplasm in that system. Where God says, no, there's no accidents. While you're in the womb, I knew you. I formed you. See, no accident. Evolution, accident. Satan's always on the other side of God. Always. And so when you understand that about God, it's really hard to believe he doesn't have a plan. Because he's not random, so he's got a plan. Now here's what's real interesting about that, is that you and I may not always understand the plan. We may not always be in the plan, but it's not going to foil his plan. If you were with us earlier, I explained how God's sovereignty means that his plan is going to work out. His plan is going to win one day. It's going to. Now, you can plug into it and be a part of it, or you can be not a part of it, but he's going to win. And it's going to win the way he wants to. And he even knows, because he's in the future, how you're going to decide and whether he should include you in that or not. Because he knows what you're going to decide to do. That doesn't take anything away from your decision. You say, I can see why there's confusion. Well, there's only confusion when we try and play God. You know, there are going to be things that we cannot understand because of the magnitude of God. I mean, his thinking, his ability is like way beyond my thinking and my ability. Way beyond it. I have to understand that. In Jeremiah 29, it says, for thus saith the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. Now, what I want to do is read this to you with it in mind that God's talking about, I will do this, I have a plan, I know what I'm doing. See, in the circumstances of life, you may not understand that. You may believe there's too much random going on. You may believe God goes, I got a plan. I know there's a disaster going on out there. Right now, if you look at the world, there's disaster going on. Israel has invaded, you know, the Hamas area. They're destroying it systematically. They're taking out all of the missile sites. They're going to fill in all the tunnels. Israel was pushed beyond what they should have been pushed. They had hundreds of missiles coming down a day. They're defending themselves. Now, what's interesting is that the world yesterday had many protests against Israel for their inhumane treatment because people are getting injured. Yes, they are. But it's Hamas who's putting the people in the way and sending the rockets. And actually, Egypt brokered a deal, and Israel was willing to accept it, but Hamas was not, and they sent a bunch more rockets. And yet they're protesting against Israel. It makes no sense. except for we understand that Israel is going to be hated. So it makes sense that way. See, what we have to understand is God has got a plan. It will work. There is nothing a human being will do to alter God's plan. Now, with that said, it doesn't mean that you won't alter whether you're a part of it or not. But his plan is not going to go undone. And so he's saying, look, I got a plan, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare. And a lot of times young people will say this verse. I know the plans I have for you. Yes, God's got plans. When you were born, when you're in your mother's womb, he formed you. He knows you. He loves you. He's got plans. Now what do you need to do? If he's got plans, I want to find them. And doesn't the Bible say that? If you seek him, what happens? You find him. If you are abiding him, what happens? There's fruit. You live the way you should. You have what you need. See, it's about finding him, loving him, and living the way you should. See, now you can be in the plan. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I would say that the general principle there is for every human that ever lived, that God said, I had plans for you. I would love to give you a future. I would love to give you hope. But will you accept it? See, that's the real question. And that's why we're confused. We think, well, if I don't accept it, then we'll get into that. And then he says, then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will hear you. You see, when you know my plan, when you abide by it, when you plug into it, then you talk to me, I'm right there, I'm with you. But if you want to do this on your own, we talked about if you want to live in sin, we talked about that yesterday, if you choose to do that, you're not going to choose to be blessed by God at that point. But that's your choice. But his plan does not include you sinning. He's not tolerant of that. That's not the plan. So any sin is not his plan. Then you will call upon me, come and pray to me, I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. See, a promise. There's a lot of people that I've talked to through the years that have said, you know, God seems so distant. You're not seeking him. Oh, yes, I am. No, you're not. Because honestly, if you were really seeking him, you'd find him. He promises that. See, what happens is sometimes we go through the academic exercise of seeking him. I need a 10-minute quickie devotion so I don't get kicked, you know, by a horse today or whatever it might be. Sorry, I was looking at you, so I thought horse. Not that you look like a horse or anything. You know what I mean? Forget it. I'll just go on. Yeah. I will hear you. When you seek me with all your heart, if I'm going to seek God today, I promise you this, I'll find him. If I'm going through the academics of just reading the Bible so that I don't get struck by lightning, I probably won't find him because I'm not seeking him. I'm actually just trying to avoid lightning. There's a big difference there. This is the message, 1 John 1, that we have heard from him and proclaim it to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while walk in darkness, we lie. We don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. See, God lays it out very carefully. It isn't your perfection that I'm after. It is your love. It is you seeking me. It is you looking for the plan that I have for you from the time you were born. Look for that stuff. See, what happens when you come to get apathy and you don't chase anything? I don't know, I'm just living day to day. You're missing out. There's a plan. What happens when you think, well, I'm a mistake. God didn't make things right. You know, I don't have any talents. I don't have any... No, what you're saying is God doesn't have a plan. See, that's what got Job in trouble, believing God didn't have a plan. He did. Even with all that happened to Job, it wasn't random. There was a plan in place. There was something going on there. And that's what we have to understand. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. If we confess our sins, what's he faithful to do? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God knows we're going to sin. And basically when we sin, what he wants us to do is call it a sin and then understand that it's going to be harmful to us and everybody we love and get back into where we belong. See, it's not like, okay, you sinned, now you can never be a part of God's plan again. And no, you sin, and as a believer, you're convicted by that. You tell God you sinned, you acknowledge that you've sinned, you acknowledge that it's wrong. Now you're back in the plan. You say, well, I missed something along the way. You might have. You have to understand this. In life, there are many decisions that you and I make. There's the lethal decision. There's a lethal decision, a decision that you cannot turn back from. And really, you get there normally after many hours of self-focused and that kind of stuff, not focusing on a plan, not the lethal decisions. A girl that we do the radio with, HopeNet 360, she has no legs. Her name is Kristen Jane Anderson. She has no legs. When she was in high school, she's sitting out by a train one night. She decided life wasn't worth it. Actually, she was totally against suicide, that kind of thing. But in about 15 minutes, she thought, it'd be better if I wasn't here. Went laid down on the tracks. I forget how many cars went over her. It was a freight train and cut her legs off. She got them cut off in a way where she can't have prosthetics, so she's got to be in a wheelchair. That was a lethal decision. Those legs are not going back on. Now, Kristen is walking with God today. She loves God. She went to Moody Bible Institute, got her degree. She's married. She has kids. She loves God. Is she in God's plan? I would say yes. But the lethal decision that was made to lay under that train that day had irrevocable circumstances attached to it. And we could say that that doesn't happen, but it does. I don't know what decisions in life are going to be lethal for you, but there are decisions that are lethal. In other words, they may not all cause death. For her, it caused her not to have any legs. It may be a guy that divorced his wife and goes and marries another lady, has kids, and then realizes, I'm wrong, I need to fix this. Sorry, lethal decision. Why? You can't fix it right now. There's nothing you can fix. It does not mean that you can't be forgiven, and it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, and it doesn't mean that you can't serve God now. What it means is you can't fix what you broke. You see, is there a reason why God hates sin? We talked about that before. Absolutely. Because in some cases, it's totally destructive, and you can't do anything to back it up. There's poor decisions. Now, different than lethal decision, there's poor decisions. Poor decisions are really those that you make, and there's some temporary setback, but really, it's not too permanent. I often said that I wish I could be like Pinocchio. You know, where when I did something wrong, I knew it right away. Pinocchio lied, you know, his nose grew. I wish when I ate something that wasn't good for me, like a donut from Dunkin' Donuts, you know, it would go right here, boom, you got a little lump. And you go, whoa, I got to watch how many donuts I eat. But it doesn't happen. See, I can eat like a dozen donuts and I don't get any lump. But down the road, I get fat. See, it wasn't a donut, but it was accumulation of that, and I thought I got away with it because I ate a donut and I didn't have a lump, kind of thing. See, what we have to understand is that you can be making poor decisions in life. And the poor decisions, you continue to make them, and you make them because you think it's not affecting you. Until the day you realize it's affecting you. You know, I can tell you story after story. My heart condition. I'm eating the way I want. I'm exercising. All of a sudden, I have to eat differently. Why? Because how I ate up to this point affected me, and I had to change now. Now, could it have been different? Yeah. And I've talked to some of you that are younger men that eat like I used to eat. And I say, you know what? You can do that, but I think down the road you're going to wish you didn't. And it's not a matter of me judging you or anything else. Why do I do that? Because I know if you eat that way, the chances of something happening to you down here are greater because it's a poor decision now. Yeah, but I get away with it. I know right now you do. But there's an accumulated effect. I often call it the cash register effect. You know, you put a lot in there, the person's adding it all up, and they don't have many cash registers anymore. They do other things. But in my day, they had a cash register. And then they hit a button, and it goes ding, and gives you the total. And it's like, all of a sudden, you've done this, poor decision, you didn't get away with it, all of a sudden, boom, total. See, those are the poor decisions. They give you these temporary setbacks, but you don't pay attention to them, and when they accumulate enough, you get a total. Then there's good decisions. Good decisions, I think, give you an acceptable result. They're not necessarily the best decisions, they're just good ones. And a lot of people, you know, that's fine, I just want good, I don't want best, you know, I just want to be sort of kind of good, you know, kind of Christian, kind of whatever. And then there's best, exceptional results, like Moses standing at the edge of the Red Sea, like Moses being a leader, like Joshua going into Jericho. Those are exceptional. Noah building an ark. Go into Hebrews chapter 11, you'll see people who made exceptional decisions. I mean, good, best decisions with exceptional results. The truth is, most of us live in this neighborhood, right there. We don't want to really make best decisions, and we don't want to really make lethal decisions. So somehow in our life, we like to stay in that middle ground somewhere. And what we're missing out on is the exceptional. See, what God wants you someday in your marriage, He wants you to have an exceptional marriage. Not a good one, an exceptional one. What He wants you to do is have an exceptional experience in the work world, in the workplace. Not just an okay one. There's so many of us that get trapped and we begin to live an okay life. And we think that's the best. It isn't. You see, certainly decisions can be lethal. Certainly they can be poor, they can be good. Or if you really work at it, they can be best. And that's really up to you how you end up doing that. If you take a look at an example, David, who is known as a man after God's own heart, did he miss out on God's plan? Well, yes and no. There were times that he missed out on God's plan. There were times where he gave up what he shouldn't have given up, and it cost dearly. And you have to understand something, that the sin in your life, the sin that you commit, will not only affect you, it will affect everybody who loves you. Anybody who loves you is going to be affected when you choose to go against God. You say, well, I don't want that. I want my own life, and I'll suffer myself for it. Yeah, it's like those who have talked through the years, you know, don't tell me what to do sexually. Don't tell me what to do this way. It's my life. It's personal. It doesn't affect anybody else. Yes, it does. You see, it'd be real interesting to say that we were all islands, and whatever we did didn't affect somebody else, but it always affects somebody else. Think of it yourself. There are people in your life who you love. When they do things that are not right, it hurts you. Does it not? Why? Because you love them. And when people you love do things, make decisions that are not right, it hurts you. Because that's the way we are. And so what happened here is David, he had these sexual sins. He murdered somebody. Now, that was a lethal decision for that guy. There was a baby conceived. And that baby died. See, there were a lot of tough stuff that happened because of David's disobedience. Was David then never able to get into God's plan again? No, he could get into it. It's just during this time period, it wasn't too bright for him, and things aren't going to work when you live in sin, and they weren't working here. Take a look at another one. David and the ark. If you remember, he wanted to bring the ark back. He told him, do this, just put it on an ox cart, you know, bring it back. Everybody knew you don't put it on an ox cart. You give it to the Levites, they carry it with poles. They didn't listen to it. The guy touched it and died. David then comes to God. What are you doing? I'm trying to bring the ark home. Listen to me, David. You know better. You're supposed to have people carrying it. You see, David, you would have been fine if you listened to me, but you decided not to listen to me. That's your choice. And since you decide to listen to me, you're outside of my protection. You are outside of the exceptional. You are now in something that doesn't work. Did David ever get back into where he belonged? Yes. Was he back in God's plan then? Yes. God remembers him as what? A man after his own heart. That's how he remembers him. See, it's funny how God's memory is, he's a man after my own heart. My memory is, Bathsheba, ark. See, I'm human, so I go through the negative, and God goes to, this guy loved me. He made some mistakes along the way. And those mistakes, by the way, were costly. And if he would have listened to me all along the way, these mistakes wouldn't have been made. See, that's where we think we get out of God's plan A. And you do, by the way. But it's not plan B anymore. God's always on plan A. That's all he's got. So you unplug from it, and now you got disaster. You're not part of it for a while, but then you plug back into it. Now you may have lost a little time in there, but you're still back in it. In other words, David accounts the troops. A time where he wasn't supposed to count the troops, and Nathan encountered him. In fact, he didn't finish. And then he comes to God, and he says, remove the guilt from me. That's what he said, basically. And God said, no, it's not about removing guilt. Pick your punishment. All of a sudden, many soldiers died. I forget how many that day, 6,000, 8,000, something like that, died. And as the angel of God that was in charge of that, drew his sword, bloody sword up over, the city of Jerusalem. David fell on his knees and said, I was wrong. And God goes, oh, that's what I was waiting for. See, a lot of times we play the confession game. God, I'll just do this. I know I'm doing wrong. I'll just say the first 119 thing. Everything's cool. God goes, you want to play a game with me? Let's do it. The trouble is, when you play a game with me, you lose. You're going to be out of my will. I will not bless you if you're going to play a game. This isn't an arrangement we have. It's a relationship we have. I will not bless your sin. So David, he could never get back into God's plan A. No, he was one who was remembered as a man after God's own heart. God used Nathan, God used people, God used his word, but he brought David back to himself. And God's plan continued, and David unplugged from it, had disasters, and the disasters affected people around him, and then he plugged back in. Then he went away from it again, had disasters, those disasters affected people around him, he was plugged back in. He went away from it again, disasters. See, there's a pattern here. There's God's plan A. Jonah, very, very easy example to understand. God's plan A. Jonah, go to Nineveh, tell them they're bad people. Thank you very much. I don't know if you ever studied Nineveh. It's an interesting place. A lot of people will talk about it. I don't know. I'm just going to tell you what I remember about Nineveh. It was a mean place. They were vicious warriors. Rumors had it that they would go out, and if they conquered a land, they'd take the king, and they would take and skin him alive, and they'd put a skin on the wall. There are records of Nineveh having pyramids of heads going to their city to show people, if you mess with us, this is what happens to you. And then, no doubt, the Jewish people hated Nineveh, and God comes to Jonah and says to Jonah, go there and tell them they're bad people. Now, I'm not sure if you would want that assignment. Jonah did not want the assignment. It was like, I don't want to go there. Now, we don't know why. Maybe he just didn't want, maybe he hated them too. And said, God said, you go tell them to repent or I'm going to, and he's going, are you kidding? Go ahead and wipe them out. I'm out of here. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know what Jonah's thinking. It's not recorded like that. He just wouldn't go. So you got God's plan A. Jonah, I want to use you to go tell people that they need to seek forgiveness. They need to change their ways. And by the way, that's always God's purpose. It is not God's desire to punish anyone. It is his desire to reconcile, to change, to bring us back. It is not his desire to punish. But he will punish. Now, word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Call out against it. Call out against it. Yeah, I could hear Jonah now going, are you kidding me? For their evil has come before me. But Jonah rose to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship, going to Tarshish. So he paid the fee, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. Here, Jonah knew exactly what God said, and Jonah did exactly opposite of what God said. Guess what he just did? He unplugged. Boom. I'm on my own. God goes, this is not going to end well for you. Why? It never ends well for those who intentionally disobey me and unplug from me. It will not work for you. A little later in the story, Jonah, we know the story. Ship has trouble. All of a sudden, it's in this great, sea that's going to kill everybody. And they're trying to figure out what to do. And they come and they find Jonah sleeping downstairs. They grab him and he said to them, who are you? He said, I'm a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is it that you have done? For men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. You know what's interesting here? Jonah made no bones about it. I'm not listening to God. God want me to do this? I'm out. I'm not listening. I'm gone. That's intentional. You might say, well, I would never do that. Well, I think you would. We all know what God says about sexual purity. We all know what God says about greed. We all know what God says about the things in life that we seem to be so easily swayed by. And what happens is we will intentionally disobey him. And when you intentionally disobey God, it's not like his plan is going to change. He's got that plan A thing going. His plan for you is one day, if you get married, to have a marriage where you're pure and you have, see, that's plan A. It doesn't mean if something happens that you can't get back into plan A and have a great marriage down the road, that kind of thing. It's just you're not going to have it apart from God. And you're not going to have it running from him. You're not going to have it doing things on your own. And Jonah is running from him, saying, and he made no bones about it. I'm running from God. I'm not listening to him. He gave me a tough assignment. I do not want it. And he probably was surrounded with a ship of pagans and said, good idea. I wouldn't do that either. Who'd go to Nineveh? That'd be nuts. The trouble is, God said, you messing with me? Boom. Storm. Even all these tough guys you're on a ship with, they're going to be like crying little babies pretty soon because I know how to do this. And I got plan A, and you're not in there, so you're not under my protection. Enjoy yourself. And then Jonah got this aha moment. Do you ever have an aha moment where you finally realize something? I'm telling you, you will realize that God has a plan A one day. You're going to go, oh, I get it. Oh, yeah, I get it. Then Jonah prayed in the Lord to the Lord God from the belly of the fish. Inside of it, can you imagine? He gets thrown overboard. He gets swallowed. I imagine for a moment he's confused. Probably disoriented a little bit. I mean, you can't be thrown in the sea like that and get like a bobber, and then all of a sudden you're going somewhere and it's pretty dark and stinky. You know, I don't even know what the experience was. But all of a sudden, he is in a place where he is totally out of control. There is nothing he can do right now. Do you know what happens to those who get to that place? Normally they turn to God. Why? Because the thing that has been keeping them from God all of their life is them thinking that they are in control. And God has to bring you to a point where you understand that you're not, but that you can trust him to be in control. See, you think, you say, yeah, well, I can make my own decisions. You can. But if you make decisions apart from God and you want to unplug, you are in big trouble. You have no defense system at that point. It can be lethal at that point. You are affecting others at that point. You will never hurt other people by plugging in to God's will. I believe I was reading about Tyndale when he translated the Bible into the language of the people. There were some people that understood what the Bible said, and they wouldn't give in anymore, and they got killed. And Tyndale was feeling badly about, oh no, I translated. They understand God's word, and they're dying. He had to work through that and say, oh no, they're okay. You see, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about persecution. That's up to God. He'll carry you through that. That isn't the issue. The issue is you want to leave God's plan. There's no carrying you through that time. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord from the belly of the fish. And he said, I call out to the Lord in my distress. And he answered me. Believe it or not, God said, yeah, I'm here. I got plan A still waiting. You need to go to Nineveh. I told you that. You want to get back in this one? Or would you like to just stay in this fish? Of course, the Bible doesn't say he said that. It's my speculation. Jonah began to go to the city of Nineveh, a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Imagine that. The people actually responded, of course, God told Jonah, go there, and all I want you to do is open your mouth for me. Now, it was kind of weird if you study the story of Jonah. The most likely, he looked like a pretty freaky guy by the time he went there. Most likely, no hair, most likely. Most likely, very, very pale from the acid. Not only that, he was already a legend. These guys who threw him overboard, what happened? The storm stopped. Whoa. That's weird. They went back to the port. Where'd that fish throw him up? Where he needed to go? All of a sudden, this guy that was thrown into the sea is pale with no hair, walking around telling people, you better listen to God. Guess what? The people are going to listen to God. What's really funny is that he even took Jonah's disobedience and turned it into something. So plan A would continue very strongly. Now what happened is Jonah missed out on doing it willfully himself. He missed out on the joy of just listening to God. God could have sent a donkey there to tell them that they needed to change. But he chose Jonah. And Jonah should have listened to him. Now, was he in the plan? Eventually, he was. 2 Timothy, for I am all ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award on me that day. And not to me only, but to all those who loved his appearing. God is saying, look, there's a plan A. You want to go by it? When you see God, you'll be rewarded for it. That's it. Really, we don't need to make it more complicated than that. You say, well, what if I'm not in it now? Well, what's stopping you from getting back in it? You know, sin? Do you want to check sin out for a while? You want to see how that works? If you do that, you'll find out it doesn't work. you'll find out that there's a aha moment. Like, this doesn't work. And then what? Well, hopefully it wasn't lethal at that point. You can come back and you get back into the plan. You know, the Apostle Paul's making it clear. Those people that love God, those people that listen to him, they'll be rewarded for that. Those who don't will not be rewarded for that. This isn't talking about heaven and hell at that point either. I mean, you and I, as children of God, if you are a true believer, you will be rewarded for what you do. Your works will never put you in God's family. Never. Nothing you do will allow you to be in God's family. But once you're in God's family, for those who actually listen to God, there's rewards. And those who don't listen to him in the family do not get rewards. The inheritances will be different. You see, if you want to be in plan A, get in the habit of seeking God and listening to him. A very simple diagram that you understand. When you become a Christian, you get put into, proverbially, like two circles. The top circle there is a position circle. In other words, I am put into God's family. I am a child of God. I have a position. What is my position? I am a child of God. That's my position. I am God is my father. That's my position. I will never lose that position. If I am truly a believer, I won't lose that position. What I might lose out on is walking with God and loving him and listening to him and miss out on plan A because I'm too busy with my own plan B. When there is no plan B. So what happens, that bottom circle is called the walk or blessing or whatever. In other words, the bottom circle is, am I going to seek God and love him and listen to him? If I'm not, see, I can get out of that circle. And when I'm outside of that circle, I'm in darkness. It doesn't work. But getting out of the top circle, I cannot do. That's my family. That's my position. It's the bottom circle I can get out of. And when I get out of that, I'm in plan B, C, D, whatever. But there is no plan B, C, D. There's only plan A. So what I want to do is get back into it. And while I'm outside of it, if I make decisions, there are going to be things happen that I wish didn't happen. But they are happening because I have chosen to ignore God. But that does not mean the rest of my life I cannot get things straightened. If today you're one who says, you know what, I am not listening to God, I do my own thing. There's no reason why you can't come to God, confess your sin, say, look, that is wrong, and I want to live in plan A, and start getting back to where you belong, and join God in what he's doing. Really, I was reading this from In Touch Ministries, and he was saying very, very simply, there are some things, if you are going to be in plan A, some things that keep you from being there. Fantasy does. In other words, you don't believe God has a plan for a specific area of your life. It's a fantasy world you live in. There's no real plan. I just make it up as I go. That's a huge error. There's a plan. God is not one who's random ever. I started with that. He isn't. He will never be random. A mystery. A lot of times what stops us is we say this. God has a plan, but it's so hard to figure out. It's just a mystery. No, it's really not. Some of the specifics might be, certainly. If 10 years ago you told me that I'd be doing radio, that kind of stuff, I'd say, really? You know, cool, I'd love to, but I don't know how that's all going to work. Well, it worked. So, see, I don't know necessarily how all that stuff works, but it's not necessarily that I made it work. Here's what I found out. God makes it pretty simple. I can get up every day, and I can meet with God and love God. I can listen to him. I can do what's right. And then I can work hard all day long. I can work all day long hard. And I can go to sleep, and I can do it again tomorrow. And then, while I'm doing that, I can kind of, as we used to say in football, have my head on a swivel a little bit. I'm looking around. I'm trying to figure out, okay, God, what do you want today? What do I need to say to this person? What do I need to do here? What do I need to do there? See, I'm trying to figure out what your will. And then I work hard. I look for opportunities to show people who God is because that's what I'm made to do. And then I go to sleep and I do it again the next day. And you know what happens? If you get in the habit of loving God and walking with him and looking for ways to honor him, you know what? All of the details start to fall into place. You say, well, that's you got really lucky. Well, luck doesn't have anything to do with it. God has everything to do with it. And basically what happens is he honors people who walk with him. That's what he does. He's got a plan. Walk with him. So not only that, in telling you that, what I'm saying is, guess who didn't have a whole lot to do with it? Me. I get up every day not know what necessarily is going to happen. But I know my responsibility. What is my responsibility? Something I can do. I can walk with God. I can work hard. I can go to sleep. Do it again. And in the process, God's plan A is going to be out there. And as I find it, I get to plug into it. And if I don't want to plug into it, fine. I go to plan B. I'll plug into my own plan. But then there's no protection. There's no blessing. There's no... You see, it's important. Biography. I know scriptures reveal who God is and what his plans are. But at times I get confused. Yeah, we do. But it's not that hard to understand what God wants you to do. I just explained it to you. That's not that hard. Even Jesus, when he was asked, what do you need to do? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he told you to do. Yeah, but it's so much more complicated than that. No, it isn't, really. Remember I told you, being married all these years, I adjust my life according to the relationship that I have. You need to adjust your life according to the relationship you have with God. That's not legalism, that's wisdom. And so it's not as hard as we want to make it out to be. Handling the word properly, what does that mean? Well, without significant time in the word, we tend to forget what matters to God. When we start mixing the world's lies with the Father's truth, we will step out of his plan. You know, when you mix truth and error, you get terror. That's what you get. There is no mixing truth and error and being okay. It's like mixing oil and water, or trying to have a foundation of concrete and clay. See, there are just some things that don't work. You need to have in your life an understanding. Without significant time in the Word, without significant time in God's Word, you will not know what God says. And I went over that yesterday. The average people spending 6 hours in social media a day, and yet they have a 15-minute quickie time with God. If you're not spending time in the Bible, and you don't know then what God says, whose issue is that? No, that's not God's problem. That's yours. And so if you want to know God's plan A and you want to be a part of it, then you need to spend time with him. Pick the right guide. That's the second thing you got to do. I'm going to make it simple. There's only two things I'm going to ask you to do. Number one, handle the word properly. Get into it. Spend time with it. Then pick the right guide. Again, we think that the easiest and quickest way to get answers is to ask fellow Christians or unbelievers who seem wise. In other instances, we use our friends' lifestyle as a yardstick for God's will. We decide that if they can act a certain way, so can we. See, if you want to be in God's plan A, number one, get into the Word of God, and number two, limit other voices that go into your head. If you're not going to limit other voices that go into your head as far as what you should do, then you're going to be in trouble. Someone will quote to me whenever I say that is, you know, in the council of many, there's wisdom. Yes, but it matters who the council of the many are. If you got into a group where Attila the Hun and Charles Manson and all these people were together giving you advice, I probably wouldn't listen to them. Why? Because it matters who that council is and what they want. What you want to do is be able to understand who loves God, who actually walks with God, and if you do want advice from somebody, find somebody who actually does that and talk to them. However, it is your responsibility to make sure that you don't have so many voices in your head that you can't sort out what the truth is anymore. You know, it's important for you to grasp what's going on when it comes to plan A or plan B. God's got a plan A, goes like this, it's just going to keep going. You're going to go like this. Plug out, plug in, plug out, plug in. Some people plug out and never come back in. It doesn't mean you're not a believer if you're a believer. It means you just messed up royal. The stuff God wants to give you in life, he's not going to. There's no way he can bless your life, your marriage, but you're plugged out. You still got a plan A up here. What do? Plug back in. Now you're still in the plan again. You'd be like David, who at the end was a man after God's own heart. Very important that we understand that. There doesn't need to be confusion. You don't need to think right now, oh no, I've made so many mistakes. I will never, ever now have what God had planned for me. Well, God is big enough to have known that all the mistakes you were going to make, that you were going to make, he knows all of them that you were going to make. And that probably he knows too that if you're going to come to him and seek him one day, and so very good chance that he's got things on hold for you. However, if you're going to keep running away from him, then he won't do what you want him to and bless your sinful life. He won't do that. You got to plug back into his plan. I don't think anybody in this room could say, well, I've missed God's plan. I'll never be okay in the future. No, you can plug back into it. You know how confusing that is, though, because he does have a specific plan. That's the interesting thing. And a lot of people would just, because it's confusing, say, well, he doesn't have one, then just love him and do whatever. That's nice, except for I don't think it fits. I think love him, listen to him, and then you'll be in the plan. You don't have to ask the question if you missed it or not at that point. And yes, David, when he was out of it, yes, he did miss the plan for a while. Yes, it caused a lot of problems, but then he got back into it. And so can you. So can I. Father, again, thank you that we could meet today. Thank you for the opportunities we have to serve. Thank you for this beautiful weather. We pray you keep us safe today and speak through those that are teaching your word. Speak through your word and honor it in Jesus' name. Amen.